I declare resumed the 10th emergency special session of the General Assembly on illegal Israeli actions in occupied East Jerusalem and the rest of the occupied Palestinian territory. Members will recall that in paragraph 6 of its resolution ES-10/18 of 16th January 2009, the General Assembly decided, I quote, to adjourn the 10th emergency special session temporarily and to authorize the President of the General Assembly at its most recent session to resume its meeting upon request from Member States, end quote. I should like to draw the attention of delegations to the following documents. A/ES-10/769, which contains a letter dated 18th December 2017 from the permanent representatives of Turkey and Yemen to the United Nations, requesting the resumption of the 10th emergency special session. And A/ES-10/771, which contains a letter dated 19th December 2017 from the permanent representative of the Bolivarian Republic of Venezuela to the United Nations, also requesting the resumption of the 10th emergency special session. I intend to conduct the proceedings of this meeting in accordance with the rules of procedure of the General Assembly and past practice of the 10th emergency special session. In accordance with the Rule 63 of the Rules of Procedure of the General Assembly, the President and Vice Presidents of the 72nd session shall serve in the same capacity at the resumed 10th emergency special session. May I take it that it is the wish of the General Assembly to decide that the Credentials Committee of the 72nd session should serve for the resumed 10th emergency special session. It is so decided. In keeping with the established practice, I should now like to invite the attention to the General Assembly to document A/ES-10/770 concerning member states that are in arrears in the payment of their financial contributions to the United Nations within the terms of Article 19 of the Charter. May I take it that the General Assembly duly takes note of the information contained in this document? It is so decided. In this connection, may I further take it that it is the wish of the General Assembly to follow the provisions of Resolution 72/2, by which the Comoros, Guinea-Bissau, Sao Tome and Principe, and Somalia are permitted to vote in the General Assembly until the end of its 72nd session, and to also allow these member states to vote at the emergency special session. It is so decided. The General Assembly will now resume its consideration of Agenda Item 5, entitled Illegal Israeli Actions in Occupied East Jerusalem and the Rest of the Occupied Palestinian Territory. In connection with this item, the General Assembly has before it a draft resolution issued as document A/ES-10/L22. I now give the floor to the distinguished representative of Yemen to introduce draft resolution A/ES-10/L22.
Sayyid al-Ra'is.
Mr. President, allow me at the outset to offer our sincere appreciation to you, Your Excellency, President of the General Assembly, for holding the 10th Emergency Special Session of the United Nations General Assembly in light of the sensitive circumstances that our region is experiencing and which constitute a threat to international peace and security. in accordance with resolution number 8221 of the Arab League Ministerial Council held in its extraordinary session in Cairo on the 9th of December 2017, and the extraordinary exceptional session held by the Islamic Summit in Istanbul on the 13th of December 2017. We would also like to express our sincere gratitude to all the member states of the Non-Aligned Movement for their support for holding this emergency special session, which is in line with their firm position on the question of Palestine. Mr. President, we express our regret over the fact that the United States of America exercised the veto against the draft resolution submitted by the Egyptian Arab Republic at the Security Council on behalf of the Arab group, which aims to protect the city of Jerusalem and refuse any attempt to change its legal and historical position that is deeply entrenched in international law. I would also like to express our condemnation of the approach adopted by the United States of America to confront and to run counter to 14 votes in the Security Council, which are representative of international consensus, unanimity on the status of the city of Al-Quds Sharif in line with the principles of international law, international legitimacy, and United Nations resolutions of relevance. The decision taken by the United States administration on the 6th of December 2017 on the status of Jerusalem is considered null and void and has no legal consequence that would change the status of occupied Jerusalem. It is considered a blatant violation of the rights of the Palestinian people and the Arab nation and all Muslims and Christians of the world. It is considered a dangerous violation and breach of international law and the Charter of the United Nations, which stipulates the inadmissibility of the forceful annexation of land, and it is a serious threat to stability, peace, and security in the region and in the world, not to mention the fact that it undermines any chances for peace and the two-state solution and only serves to fan the fires of violence and extremism. East Jerusalem continues to be occupied, Mr. President, and it is an inseparable part of the lands of the State of Palestine, and we confirm that Palestine has an absolute right to exercise its sovereignty on all occupied Palestinian territories that have been occupied since 1967, including East Jerusalem. Therefore, we call on all states, including the United States of America, to not recognize any measures and any steps that run counter to that, and we ask that they refrain from the establishment of diplomatic missions in the Holy City pursuant to Security Council resolutions as has been endorsed by the draft resolution presented and the General Assembly's position on this question, which has remained steadfast over many decades. We strongly condemn all policies, all Israeli policies, practices, and plans that are illegal and that aim to annex the occupied East Jerusalem and change its Arab identity and demographic structure. We reject all attempts to change the historic and legal status of Islamic and Christian holy sites in the city, including Al-Haram al-Sharif. And here we appreciate the role that is being played by the Kingdom of Jordan in offering protection and in confronting all of these illegal attempts as the guardian of the holy sites in the city. Furthermore, we appreciate the role that is being played by the Committee on Al-Quds, which is led by the Moroccan Kingdom. We also salute the steadfastness of the sisterly Palestinian people who stand to defend their land, their holy sites, their history, and their culture in the face of oppression and of injustice and of aggression, and in the face of anyone who tries to deny their right to exist and their natural right to exist in a holy Arab city. Mr. President, the Israeli occupation of Arab territories, including Palestinian land, is the source of all tension in the region. There will be no security and no stability in the region without finding a solution that will do justice to the Palestinian people and will give them their legitimate rights in freedom and dignity and the independence of a Palestinian state with East Jerusalem as its capital on the basis of the Land for Peace principle and the two-state solution in accordance with the terms of reference of peace, which also include the Arab Peace Initiative that continues to stand since 2002 and forms the just basis for a peaceful solution as has been agreed on by this international community, including the Security Council. Today, the Yemeni Republic, in its capacity as chair of the Arab Group for this month and in partnership with Turkey as the chair of the Islamic Summit, present the General Assembly with a draft resolution on the status of the City of Jerusalem under the title United for Peace. This draft resolution stipulates that any decisions and actions which purport to have altered the character, status, or demographic composition of the Holy City of Jerusalem have no legal effect, are null and void completely, and must be rescinded in compliance with relevant resolutions of the Security Council, and in this regard, calls upon all states to refrain from the establishment of diplomatic missions in the Holy City of Jerusalem pursuant to Security Council Resolution Number 478 of the year 1980. Moreover, it demands that all states comply with Security Council resolutions regarding the Holy City of Jerusalem, Al-Quds Al-Sharif, and not recognize any actions or measures contrary to these resolutions. Moreover, it reiterates its call for the reversal of the negative trends on the ground that are imperiling the two-state solution and for the intensification and acceleration of international and regional efforts and support aimed at achieving, without delay, a comprehensive, just, and lasting peace in the Middle East on the basis of the relevant United Nations resolutions, the Madrid Terms of Reference, including the Principle of Land for Peace, the Arab Peace Initiative, and the Quartet Road Map, and an end to the Israeli occupation that began in 1967. Mr. President, we'd like to take this opportunity to express our sincere gratitude to the great efforts exerted by the sisterly Arab Republic of Egypt in its capacity as the Arab delegation in the Security Council in tabling the draft resolution at the Council and as well as bolstering the necessary support for it. We thank all member states that have voted in favor of the draft resolution, and we salute their principled position towards the question. And we would also like to express our thanks to all of the delegations that have joined in the sponsorship of the draft resolution that we submit today for supporting the principles that this resolution stands for, which is also a reflection of their firm positions on the rule of law and the just cause of Palestine. We call upon all peace-loving countries that truly want peace. We call upon them to stand steadfast for the rule of law. We ask them to support this draft resolution, to vote for right, to vote for peace, to vote for stability in the Middle East and the entire world. I thank you.
I thank the distinguished representative of Yemen. I now give the floor to the observer of the State of Palestine, His Excellency Riyad Al-Malki, Minister for Foreign Affairs.
Maali Rais Al.
Your Excellency, President of the General Assembly, Mr. Lacek. Your Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, we have called for holding this 10th emergency special session of the General Assembly in order to make heard the voice of the international community, which has been embodied by the reactions of peoples and the positions of countries throughout the world. As the obvious majority was experienced in the Security Council, where a vote was conducted on a draft resolution that confirms the legal and political and historical status of Al-Quds al-Sharif and the fact that any attempts to change the status would be null and void. Here I would like to thank the Arab group and the member states and the Organization of Islamic Cooperation and the non-aligned movement for calling for this emergency session after the use of the veto obstructed the Security Council and made it unable to perform its duties in maintaining international peace and security, despite the fact that 14 member states of the Council supported the draft resolution tabled by Egypt, and which we thank her for. The General Assembly now has within its prerogatives the right to undertake this responsibility as per the United for Peace principle. And this session comes after decisions were issued by the Arab Ministerial Council, which was held in Cairo, upon the request of the State of Palestine and the Kingdom of Jordan as the guardian of the holy sites in Jerusalem. It also comes pursuant to the extraordinary session of the OIC that was held in Istanbul under the chairmanship of Turkey. It also comes in light of the international consensus on the dangerous nature of the U.S. decision and its repercussions on peace and security at the regional and international levels. We meet today not because of any animosity towards the United States of America, but because of its decision, which constitutes an aggression on the genuine and natural right of the Palestinian people to the city of Al-Quds al-Sharif and the Arab nation and all the Muslims and Christians of the world. An aggression on the status of Jerusalem, its religious and humanitarian status that is exceptional, and we would like to confirm that the American decision will not impact the status and position of the holy city in any way whatsoever. Rather, it naturally affects the status of the United States as a mediator of peace, because it has failed in the test of Jerusalem, despite our warnings and the warnings of the entire world not to take this test seriously, and our warnings of the danger of taking any positions and any decisions that would inflame religious feelings and would contribute towards transferring this solution, a political solution that can be solved, to a religious war that has no boundaries. We cannot help but ask, what does this decision serve? It serves the Israeli government in implementing its colonial plans. It serves the powers of extremism and terrorism in the region and the world. Who can imagine that there would be any credibility to a peace plan where Jerusalem is excluded? Is there any voice that supports peace and that enjoys credibility that has supported this decision? How has this decision been described by states and by regional and political blocs and parliaments and even the Secretary General of the United Nations, not to mention the Christian and Islamic religious establishments and authorities throughout the world? Does not the United States wonder why it stands isolated in this position, which is being rejected by everyone near and far, and why even its closest allies couldn't even turn a blind eye to this decision? The answer is clear. Al-Quds al-Sharif is the cradle of civilization. It is the land of the divine religions. It is the path of the Prophet. It is the gateway to heaven. It is the city of the nativity of Al-Aqsa. It is the first of the two points of prayer, the third of the holy mosques. It cannot be misrepresented. It cannot be falsified. It will not fall to any siege or any domination or any monopolization. It is the key to war. It is the key to peace in the Middle East and in the entire world. Therefore, international law and international consensus were clear over Jerusalem. All states care for respecting the special status of Jerusalem and the historic status of the holy sites, including Al-Haram al-Sharif. Today, the United States once again misses an opportunity to go back on an illegal and provocative decision. It misses an opportunity to join the international community and put an end to its isolation. However, it insists on ignoring the dangerous repercussions of its decisions and the calls of international community upon it to respect the laws of international legitimacy which govern our world and which prevent the escalation of conflict and offer a framework of reference for just, peaceful solutions. Mr. President, the state of Palestine respects the sovereignty of states so long as this sovereignty is in line with international law. However, we refuse to have sovereignty used as an excuse to violate international law and to trespass on the rights of our Palestinian people, which are inalienable, and we refuse to have it used to deny our right to exist on our land. We stand here today with the countries of the world, all of the world, united for freedom, for justice, for peace. The veto will not stop us. We will not be threatened. We are confronting these challenges, and in doing this, we rely on international law, and we seek its judgment, and this does and not we do not seek what appears to be religious advice that is being used in order to justify colonialism and to justify the forceful annexation of land. We wonder how Israel, the occupying authority, has not yet realized that the countries here represent peoples that for many decades suffered from colonialism, apartheid, oppression, domination, aggression, and that they know very well the difference between colonialist desires and others, and will refuse any kind of justification for these crimes, be it a security justification, religious one, or a national one, because these are justifications that have been exposed by the experience and the struggles of peoples. And these countries and their peoples are loyal, and Palestine will not forget the support that it has received from them in order until they have achieved and regained their freedom and independence. Moreover, these states recognize and understand the rationale for which this international organization was formed over 70 years ago in the aftermath of World War II. It is a logic that is based on justice, collective will, and which is embodied in the Charter of the United Nations and international law. This organization is now undergoing an unprecedented test, with Palestine being its headline. All international frameworks that have agreed on our right, on the justice of our Palestinian cause. This includes the General Assembly, the Security Council, the Human Rights Council, the International Court of Justice, and the Conference of the High Contractor Member States of the Fourth Geneva Convention. And today, we trust that the states, in voting, will rely on these bases and these firm foundations, which are also based on a logic that is in line with human civilization. Mr. President, history records names. It remembers names. The name of those who stand by what is right and the names of those who speak falsehoods. And today, we are seekers of rights and peace, despite the oppression and the injustice that has befallen our people. Children, women, the elderly, it is an oppression that started with Balfour 100 years ago, to the catastrophe 70 years ago, to the occupation of the West Bank, including East Jerusalem and the Gaza Strip 50 years ago and until this very day. And despite our march on the path of pain for over a century, we have not wavered in our will to achieve peace whenever we were given the chance. However, colonialism and peace do not meet. And those who choose peace must rescind colonialism. And those who choose colonialism are the enemies of peace. And Israel does not hide its policies and its intentions. The mediator has decided to take its side and thus acknowledge what is wrong and ignore what is right. This requires the formation of a multilateral international mechanism under the United Nations and on the basis of international legitimacy and the framework of reference of the peace process that would embody the international will to put an end to occupation and conflict and to achieve a just, comprehensive and lasting peace that would secure, that would guarantee security and peace to all the peoples in the region. The peace process is not the exclusive property of one party, and the question of Palestine is the responsibility of the international community as a whole, including the United Nations, in order to arrive at a just solution that would guarantee the right of the Palestinian people and in a manner that cannot be limited and tied to the good intentions of the international community, more the occupational power. And these states cannot use the excuse of supporting the dialogue between states to manipulate and maneuver out of the responsibility and duties towards international law and not recognize the illegitimate status that Israel has created and not contribute towards the continuation of this process. And it must distinguish between the occupied territories and the occupying power. And it must hold accountable those who commit and perpetrate violations, and it must support the Palestinian people in their just struggle to achieve freedom and independence, including recognizing a Palestinian state within the 1967 borders. Our steadfastness in our land, in our historic land, and our desire to achieve freedom and dignity, and our hope to achieve security and welfare to our people and our future generations is renewed every day. However, the barbarism of the Israeli occupation is taking away the dreams and the future of the Palestinian people. It is enough to mention what we've seen in the few days where a person, a handicapped Palestinian, was shot by a sniper in his wheelchair. A child was shot in the face. An entire battalion of soldiers have surrounded an unarmed young man. The kidnapping of a brave girl child in the middle of the night from the arms of her parents. When will this end? When will our catastrophe end? When will we achieve our freedom and live in dignity, in peace and security on our land and the land of our predecessors and ancestors? The world is celebrating the birth of Christ over the next few days, but the lights will not be lit in the land of Christ, in Jerusalem, in Bethlehem, and in Nazareth, as a response to attempts to eliminate the Palestinian, Arab, Christian, and Islamic identity of the city and an affirmation of the unity of the Palestinian people around their cause. History has taken its position on colonialism and apartheid and settlements and walls, and Palestine cannot remain alone hostage to the tragedies of historical phases that humanity has rejected and refused. The Palestinian people continue to hold fast and stand fast in Jerusalem and in its streets and alleys as an organic relationship exists between them that cannot be dismembered. And we would like to note here that the Palestinian people are standing to defend the same values that you've come here to defend. And I call upon you on behalf of the Palestinian people to vote in favor of the draft resolution in order to make heard the voice of a firm right that cannot be denied, and in order to take a fair position in history and to recognize principles in international law and your own resolutions, and in order to combat attempts at fraud and to reject blackmail and intimidation. Those who want peace must vote for peace today. I thank you.
I thank the observer of the State of Palestine, His Excellency Minister for Foreign Affairs. I now give the floor to the distinguished representative of Turkey, His Excellency Mr. Mevlut Çavuşoğlu, Minister for Foreign Affairs.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Mr. President, thank you for convening this historic UN General Assembly meeting. I would also like to welcome His Excellency Mr. Riyad Malki, the Minister of Foreign Affairs of Palestine. Dear friends, for so many times we came here and said that the Palestinians have the right to live like the rest of us. They have the right to be free and secure. They have the right to be prosperous, and they have the right to enjoy what is their own. Yet, our wars couldn't make a change. The illegal occupation continues, and Palestinians cannot enjoy their basic rights. Generations of Palestinians are subject to systematic violence and discrimination. Today's world is important to remind that the Palestinians are not alone. This world is important to show that Palestinian cause is still our cause. Therefore, today we will speak up for justice and peace. Today, we will speak up for Al-Quds Jerusalem, the city of three divine faiths. We will show that different ethnicities and religions can coexist in peace in Palestine. Excellencies, dear friends, the Palestinians have the right to their own state based on 1967 borders with East Jerusalem as its capital. This is the main parameter and only hope for a just and lasting peace in the region. However, the recent decision of a UN member state to recognize Jerusalem or Al-Quds as the capital of Israel violates the international law, including all relevant UN resolutions. This decision is an outrageous assault to all universal values. As the summit chair of the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, OIC, we convened an extraordinary summit in Istanbul on December 13. The OIC, as the world's second largest intergovernmental body, unanimously rejected the decision as null and void, consistent with the UN Security Resolution 476, which censored in the strongest terms a similar decision taken by the Israeli parliament in 1980. The OIC also declared East Jerusalem as the capital of the state of Palestine. Mr. President, excellencies, friends, Al-Quds Jerusalem is a holy city for all three monotheistic religions. It is the responsibility of entire humanity to preserve its historic status. Unilateral decisions on its status threaten the multi-ethnic and multicultural fabric of the city. Such steps undermine prospects for a just and lasting peace in the Middle East. They hinder the vision for a two-state solution. Regrettably, the Security Council failed to deliver on its responsibilities once again through the use of veto power. Now, the duty falls upon the UN General Assembly to bring justice. Excellencies, dear friends, before this meeting, a UN member state threatened all the other members. We were all asked to vote no or face the consequences. Some are even threatened with the development aid cut. Such an attitude is unacceptable. This is bullying, and this chamber will not bow to do that. It is unethical to think that the votes and dignity of member states are for sale. Let me put it in this way. We will not be intimidated. You can be strong, but this doesn't make you right. Mr. President, excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, dear friends, this is a critical moment in history. A vote in favor of the Palestinian people today will place us on the right side of the history. We did it before when we granted Palestine the status of non-member observer state at the UN back in 2012. It is our sincere hope that this vote will pave the way for much-needed peace and justice in the Middle East. Turkey, as the co-chair of OIC summit, co-tabled the resolution along with Yemen. Also, together with the Arab League, we requested the president of the General Assembly to convene this emergency special session. I would like to conclude on behalf of the entire Turkish nation that Turkey will never let Al-Quds down. The Palestinian people will never be left alone. World is bigger than five. Thank you, Mr. President.
I thank the distinguished representative of Turkey, His Excellency the Minister for Foreign Affairs. I now give the floor to the distinguished representative of the United States.
Thank you, Mr. President. To its shame, the United Nations has long been a hostile place for the State of Israel. Both the current and the previous Secretary Generals have objected to the UN's disproportionate focus on Israel. It's a wrong that undermines the credibility of this institution, and that, in turn, is harmful for the entire world. I've often wondered why, in the face of such hostility, Israel has chosen to remain a member of this body. And then I remember that Israel has chosen to remain in this institution because it's important to stand up for yourself. Israel must stand up for its own survival as a nation, but it also stands up for the ideals of freedom and human dignity that the United Nations is supposed to be about. Standing here today, being forced to defend sovereignty and the integrity of my country, the United States of America, many of the same thoughts have come to mind. The United States is by far the single largest contributor to the United Nations and its agencies. We do this in part in order to advance our values and our interests. When that happens, our participation in the UN produces great good for the world. Together, we feed, clothe, and educate desperate people. We nurture and sustain fragile peace in conflict areas throughout the world. And we hold outlaw regimes accountable. We do this because it represents who we are. It is our American way. But we'll be honest with you. When we make generous contributions to the UN, we also have a legitimate expectation that our goodwill is recognized and respected. When a nation is singled out for attack in this organization, that nation is disrespected. What's more, that nation is asked to pay for the privilege of being disrespected. In the case of the United States, we are asked to pay more than anyone else for that dubious privilege. Unlike in some UN member countries, the United States government is answerable to its people. As such, we have an obligation to acknowledge when our political and financial capital is being poorly spent. We have an obligation to demand more for our investment. And if our investment fails, we have an obligation to spend our resources in more productive ways. Those are the thoughts that come to mind when we consider the resolution before us today. The arguments about the President's decision to move the American embassy to Jerusalem have already been made. They are by now well known. The decision was in accordance to U.S. law dating back to 1995, and its position has been repeatedly endorsed by the American people ever since. The decision does not prejudge any final status issues, including Jerusalem's boundaries. The decision does not preclude a two-state solution if the parties agree to that. The decision does nothing to harm peace efforts. Rather, the President's decision reflects the will of the American people and our right as a nation to choose the location of our embassy. There is no need to describe it further. Instead, there is a larger point to make. The United States will remember this day in which it was singled out for attack in the General Assembly for the very act of exercising our right as a sovereign nation. We will remember it when we are called upon to once again make the world's largest contribution to the United Nations. And we will remember it when so many countries come calling on us, as they so often do, to pay even more and to use our influence for their benefit. America will put our embassy in Jerusalem. That is what the American people want us to do, and it is the right thing to do. No vote in the United Nations will make any difference on that. But this vote will make a difference on how Americans look at the UN and on how we look at countries who disrespect us in the UN. And this vote will be remembered. Thank you.
I thank the distinguished representative of the United States. I now give the floor to the distinguished representative of Israel.
Thank you, Mr. President. It is shameful for the United Nations that I must stand before you today. It is shameful that this meeting is even taking place. Jerusalem is the holiest place on earth for the Jewish people. It is the capital of the State of Israel. Period. It is a fact that simply cannot be disputed. King David declared Jerusalem the city of the Jewish people 3,000 years ago. The Jewish Bible mentions Jerusalem 660 times. Our prayers recall Jerusalem's holy name over and over again. As our Prime Minister, the first Prime Minister, David Ben-Gurion, said, and I quote, "Jerusalem is an inseparable part of the history of Israel, of the faith of Israel." I am holding an original coin. It's from 67 AD. It says in Hebrew, and I quote, "Freedom of Zion." Look in the envelope in front of you. You will see you have a replica of the coin. It is clear evidence from the time of our Second Temple. It proves the ancient connection of Jews to Jerusalem. Our bond to Jerusalem is unbreakable. No UNESCO declaration, no empty speeches, no General Assembly resolution will ever drive us from Jerusalem. These are the facts this body does not want to hear. These are the facts this body wishes to ignore. So today, I will tell you about another unbreakable bond. The unbreakable bond of hypocrisy between the Palestinians and the United Nations. Some have cautioned that the United States' decision is one-sided and harmful to peace. The opposite is true. It is the one-sided steps of the Palestinians and the UN that have pushed away peace for years. With every anti-Israel resolution, with every attack on my people, the UN has perfected its double standard. We are now sitting in an open session, an emergency session of the General Assembly. This session has been open since 1997. We live in a world that is full of conflict and war, but only when it comes to Israel, the one true democracy in the Middle East, that this assembly remain in a constant open session. How many times has Israel reached its hand in peace since 1997? How many times have we offered the Palestinians to join us in dialogue? How many times have these calls for peace been rejected? All of us have lost count. When Prime Minister Barak offered the Palestinians a state in 2000, we were met with suicide bombers on our buses and shootings in our streets. In 2005, Prime Minister Sharon disengaged from Gaza. He removed every single Israeli home. You will not find any settlements, any occupation in Gaza anymore. Since then, we have been attacked again and again with rockets and missiles aimed at our civilians. Yet, this body was silent. The United States simply stated a fact. They officially declared what has always been true. Jerusalem has been and always will be the capital of the state of Israel. Those who support today's resolution are like puppets. You are puppets pulled by the strings of your Palestinian puppet masters. You are like marionettes forced to dance while the Palestinian leadership looks on with glee. You are blind to the lies, unaware of the manipulation surrounding you, just like a puppet. This vote is nothing more than a performance of delusion. The Palestinians know this resolution is a fraud. They know this resolution does absolutely nothing for the lives of the Palestinian people. They know it won't create jobs for their people. They know it won't provide better healthcare for the people of Ramallah or Gaza. No, this resolution is nothing more than a distraction. All it will do is tell the Palestinians they can continue rejecting peace. And if you vote for it, you are sanctioning that view. I thank those brave countries that do not support this resolution. You have not fallen prey to the puppet show before us. You are the defenders of real peace. You are the leaders who prove that no UN resolution can rewrite history. Because when a UN resolution designates Israel's presence in parts of Jerusalem as illegal, in reality, it designates the presence of the Jewish people at the Western Wall as illegal. Mr. President, for thousands of years, Jews had only partial access or were even banned completely from the Western Wall. Other nations, kingdoms, and empires that occupied Jerusalem over the centuries had no respect for freedom of religion. But when Israel was founded, we established a strong democracy. Our democracy is based on individual freedoms. One of those freedoms is the freedom of religion. And all these years later, our democracy and our commitment to those freedoms continue to thrive. We know Jerusalem is sacred to billions around the world. Israel respects all religions and encourages everyone to visit and pray in the holy city. Mr. President, there is a particular irony with today's resolution. Countries that sponsor today's resolution accuse the United States and Israel of violating international law. Countries like Yemen, where terror groups like Al-Qaeda and ISIS find fertile ground, the irony continues. In every other scenario, this body preaches human rights and peace, but not when it comes to Israel. In fact, you completely ignore the horrific acts of terror that threaten Israeli citizens. These past 2 weeks alone, I've seen 23 rocket attacks by Hamas into Israel. We heard nothing from the UN. No Security Council meeting, no emergency session of the General Assembly, nothing. The PA threatened violence and days of rage, but the UN had no condemnation. Mr. President, let me be clear. Violence and terror must never be tolerated. If this body were really united for peace, it would pass a resolution condemning Palestinian violence. This resolution only encourages more violence and instability. It encourages the Palestinian leadership to continue on this dangerous path. You permit them to pursue violence in the name of Jerusalem, the city of peace. Mr. President, Israel is an optimistic country. We returned home after thousands of years in exile. We made the desert bloom and defended our country from countless attacks. 42 years ago, this body, here is the General Assembly, this body adopted a different, shameful resolution. It equated Zionism with racism. It took 16 long years for that hateful resolution to be revoked. I have no doubt that today's resolution will also end up in the trash bin of history. I have no doubt that the day will come when the entire international community will finally come to recognize Jerusalem as the eternal capital of the State of Israel. Thank you.
I thank the distinguished representative of Israel. I now give the floor to the distinguished representative of Bolivarian Republic of Venezuela on behalf of the Non-Aligned Movement.
Señor Presidente.
President, it is an honor for the Bolivarian Republic of Venezuela to take the floor speaking on behalf of the Non-Aligned Movement, a movement which, together with the Organization for Islamic Cooperation and the League of Arab States, requested the resumption of this 10th emergency session of the General Assembly. And we made that request in light of the most recent events related to the question of Palestine. In making this request, we underscored the importance that we attach to the fate and future of the heroic people of Palestine, as well as to the status of the city of Jerusalem. I would like to take this opportunity at the outset to express our gratitude to you for your prompt and positive response to our request, a request which channels the concerns of the free peoples of the world. It is important to emphasize that this plenary meeting has been convened in line with the provisions laid out in Resolution 377A of the General Assembly, dated the 3rd of November 1950, a Union for Peace. And it is particularly important to bear that in mind as we consider that the Security Council remains silent and gridlocked on this particular issue, despite its obligations under the Charter. And we saw evidence of that paralysis in the Security Council on Monday, the 18th of December of this year, when the delegation of the United States of America wielded its veto during a vote on a draft resolution of the Security Council on the status of the City of Jerusalem, as submitted by the distinguished delegation of the Arab Republic of Egypt. President, the Non-Aligned Movement would like to express how deeply alarmed we are by the ongoing violations perpetrated by Israel, the occupying power, in the occupied Palestinian territory, including attempts to alter the character, status, and demographic composition of the city of Jerusalem. We deplore each and every violation of international law and the provocations that have occurred in the city, and we deplore them irrespective of who is responsible for them or where they take place, emphasizing that such actions are legally null and void, as the Security Council of the United Nations has itself determined. We reiterate our support for all the resolutions of the Security Council and of the General Assembly pertaining to Jerusalem, and we reiterate that Jerusalem is an integral part of the occupied Palestinian territory. Moreover, the member states of the Non-Aligned Movement, or NAM, wish to express their serious concern following the statements and plans announced by the President of the United States of America, Donald Trump, on the 6th of December of this year. His plan and intention to move the embassy of his country to the city of Jerusalem in Israel. We similarly decry any further action related to seeking to tighten Israel's grip over and its illegal de facto annexation of the city of Jerusalem. Allow me to sound the alarm once again that any such provocation, provocations that are moreover violations of Security Council resolutions, serve only to inflame an already tense situation, and the potential unlimited negative fallout is a sobering unknown. We call upon the government of the United States of America to halt these violations and provocations. Similarly, we recall the principles and purposes as enshrined in the Charter of the United Nations, including the prohibition to acquire land and territory through force. We also recall the relevant resolutions of the Security Council and the General Assembly and all the provisions of international law, in particular the Fourth Geneva Convention. We recall in particular resolutions 476 and 478 of the Security Council, in which the Security Council inter alia explicitly stated that all acts and measures of a legislative or administrative nature as taken by Israel, the occupying power, intended to alter the character and or status of the holy city of Jerusalem are legally null and void, and that they must be immediately rescinded. The Security Council also affirmed that the promulgation of the Basic Law by Israel constituted a violation of international law. In its resolutions 476 and 478, the Security Council decided not to recognize the Basic Law and the further measures that Israel, as a result of this law, had taken to alter the character and status of Jerusalem. The Security Council in the same resolutions called upon all member states to abide by its decision, expressly calling upon those states that had established diplomatic representation in Jerusalem to withdraw said diplomatic representations from the Holy City. We therefore urge full respect for the relevant resolutions and decisions of the Security Council. Said resolutions and decisions are legally binding on each and every one of us in our capacity as member states of this House. President, the Non-Aligned Movement issues a further warning that against the backdrop of this extremely volatile situation and the slim prospects for achieving a just peace, all provocative, illegal, and unilateral actions in Jerusalem, as well as the constant threat of such provocative, illegal, and or unilateral actions, in addition to weakening the possibilities of achieving the two-state solution on the basis of the pre-1967 borders, could also seriously destabilize what is already a very fragile situation, a powder keg on the ground, with dangerous consequences. For this reason, the movement further recalls Resolution 2334 of the Security Council, adopted almost a year ago, in which the Council underscored inter alia that it will not recognize any change to the 4th of June 1967 borders, including with respect to Jerusalem, that are not agreed to by the parties through negotiation. In 2334, the Security Council called upon the parties to refrain from engaging in acts of provocation and incitement, to refrain from making statements and declarations that only entrench hostilities, and to refrain from such acts for, amongst other purposes, the goal of de-escalating the situation on the ground, restoring trust, and demonstrating through political and other measures a genuine commitment to the two-state solution, and to foster the necessary preconditions for promoting peace. In light of the aforementioned, the member states of the NAM wish to reiterate their commitment to contribute to finding a fair, peaceful, and lasting solution to the question of Palestine, covering all aspects of said question, commensurate with international law. We underscore the urgent need to work collectively to promote peace and security through bringing to an end, without further delay, the Israeli occupation that began more than 50 years ago in 1967. The NAM further appeals for a ramping up of all regional and international efforts towards this goal, including efforts related to the preservation of the two-state solution on the basis of the pre-1967 borders. In line with the long-standing terms of reference for a peace agreement as endorsed by the international community. Said efforts will be in line with the relevant resolutions of the United Nations, the Madrid Principles, including the principle of land for peace, the Arab Peace Initiative, and the Quartet Roadmap. It is important to emphasize, moreover, that only a holistic and comprehensive solution to the question of Palestine will allow us to achieve the long-aspired peace in the region of the Middle East, and thus to draw an end once and for all to the Arab-Israeli conflict in its entirety. To conclude, the non-aligned movement reaffirms its historic support for and solidarity with the just Palestinian cause and its unwavering commitment to continue supporting the heroic Palestinian people as they pursue their desire to enjoy their inalienable rights and achieve their legitimate national aspirations, including the right to self-determination, to freedom and to independence, living in their independent state of Palestine with East Jerusalem as the capital of that independent state. This is vital for the reaching of a fair, comprehensive, and lasting peace. President, one last thought that occurs to me now that I will share in my national capacity. Our message to the current administration of the United States of America, to that country's government, is the following. The world is not for sale. The world is not for sale, and your threats imperil global peace. Thank you very much, President.
I thank the distinguished representative of the Bolivarian Republic of Venezuela on behalf of Non-Aligned Movement.
You're listening to Weekday World from CPR, Community Public Radio. I'm your host, Don DeBar.